Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it.
Welcome back to Folding the Cheese. It's your boy Kemp on the mic today on this Thursday. NFL's back tonight. We are stoked about that. As always, my co-host, the Cal Naughton Jr. to my Ricky Bobby is here. E, shake and bake. What's happening, buddy?
Shake and bake. Nah, glad it's Thursday. I feel like the NFL, it just takes too long for the games to come back, so I'm happy Thursday. But then there's that weird in-between Friday, Saturday. But I guess you got college football on Saturday, so we're good. I got enough football to feed me.
Yeah, I kind of missed the COVID year where they had like Wednesday games and a Friday game, and they're like, when can you play? We'll just go ahead
whenever
and make this
someone
happen.
Whenever someone's healthy and not coughing, let's just get in there quick.
That's right. That's right. I'm stoked. First week's in the books. Second week is upon us. I'm here for it. And we got a big show today. We're going to recap our DFS plays from last week. We're going to recap the sports book picks from last week. We got a new contest we're starting, and we want you guys to participate with us. And we got another
do it
bet between me and Ethan as well.
Do it, do it, do it.
But before we get started, I got to ask you, has your family seen Vivo?
Vivo. It's funny you say that because it was just my daughter's birthday. And so she had a yes day on her birthday. So she got to have donuts for breakfast and she got to choose the rest of her day. And we could not say no. So as soon as she gets home from school, she's like, I want to watch a movie. I'm like, okay. And she goes, everyone in my class is talking about Vivo. I'm like, what the hell is Vivo? And so we pull it up and it's a talking singing monkey in Cuba or something. So we've seen like half of it. So that yes,
we've seen half of
Vivo.
I believe the official term is Kikachu, as I've come to believe it.
I prefer a crazy weird looking monkey, but yes, weird Kikachu, monkey. I think you are correct.
So I have not seen the movie. I've heard the soundtrack on repeat in my house, as is often the case. My wife has seen it. My kids have seen it. I really want to see it because I feel like I know half of the storyline. You know, you get a new soundtrack
through song. Of course, you know the story through song.
Yeah. And I want to see the songs in play as well. And it's Lin-Manuel Miranda, who we love around here as well.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel, he just pops out hits, man. And even in the kids form, it's crazy to me how fast he could rap / sing as a little monkey. It's a great combo.
That little monkey, those lips are flying around. He's uber talented, just ridiculous. And so that soundtrack has been cranking in our house. Running Out of Time, if you haven't heard it, pretty big jam. Nora's favorite currently.
Must be in the second half of the movie. Haven't heard that one yet.
I think so. They seem to be in a hurry to get to maybe an audition or an opportunity to perform. So probably later in the movie.
They're going to try to catch this performance. But that's, again, spoiler alert. Her name is Marta. Wow. Marta.
So we've had that on repeat in our house. On the heels of having, as you mentioned, Hamilton on repeat in our house. And on the heels of having Greatest Showman on repeat in our house. I mean, there's always something.
Great soundtrack for Greatest Showman. We actually, Addison's favorite song in that one is The Other Side. But she actually prefers, you know, they did like the remastered version. How they just took the entire soundtrack, then had other artists perform in it. She likes remastered version. It's like Ty Dolla $ign and Max or something like that.
Oh, nice. I forgot they did that. I need to check those out because we've heard that soundtrack so many times. Yeah, I remember hearing one of the songs by somebody more popular, more like, you know, traditionally like popular.
Panic at the Disco does This Is the Greatest Show. I think Kesha's in there doing This Is Me. I mean, it's a legit remastered version.
Okay. I almost don't want to show my kids that, but at the same time, I definitely do. We were big on The Other Side as well. That's a commonly acted out scene in our house when that song comes on. I get to play the bartender, you know, I've got the towel on my shoulder, I'm setting up the shots and flipping bottles around. It's a good time. Always a good time. Hamilton, great. I will say we listened to the Hamilton soundtrack before we saw the show, and we were like, what in the hell is this? It's hard to follow. If you just listen to the soundtrack, it's just kind of like some talking, rapping sort of thing. When you put it all in context, my God, it's fantastic.
But so you obviously have seen it. Did your kids sit through all 3 hours?
My kids sat through the whole thing. They were enamored by the show.
That is impressive.
They absolutely loved it. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. My kids, I was going to say, don't get me wrong. When a screen is on, my kids are locked in. But I don't think Kirsten can wait the 3 hours. In fact, she can't. I know that for a fact. She'll either fall asleep, get antsy, have to walk up and do some lunges or something like that. So she cannot sit through a 3 hour show. So we have not finished Hamilton either. It seems to be a common theme for us.
You got to finish it. It's killer. Have you gotten to the second act at least? Or did you stop at intermission?
Yes. Maybe.
Lafayette comes back as Thomas Jefferson, and it's freaking fantastic.
All I know is Kristoff was King George, and he was singing, and yeah. So yes, we will get back
to that. That's true. He was fantastic too. Yeah, David Diggs, who plays the Marquis de Lafayette, is fantastic as Lafayette. He then reprises in the second act as Thomas Jefferson, and is like, it's almost like when Dave Chappelle did Rick James. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. He's like this over the top
nice
character. It's fantastic.
Dual threat.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right, let's get into some action. And I'm going to start by ripping off this Band-Aid here and talk about our DFS last week, where
we don't need to do it that fast. Let's take time.
Yeah, real weekend. Quick.
Let's take some time.
Real quick. Let's just run through real quick. I got demolished. All right, let's move on to those sportsbook bets. coming out strong first week, 136.16 to my lowly 103.36. Woof. It was not my best outing. I got lured in by that Matt Ryan siren that we talked about. He was calling. Yes. Sounded like it was going to be a shootout. Sounded like it was going to be garbage time. He was garbage himself. That's all the garbage that there was.
I mean, the one defense you had is that we both had Matt Ryan, so that didn't hurt you. The only thing that did hurt you is who'd you swap Matt Ryan for?
Yeah, this one hurts. I had Jalen Hurts in there. And in order to save $200, you'll get this if you play daily. I mean, you're constantly tweaking your lineup to get a $100 right advantage here. Or, ooh, I saw that player is just too expensive. Where can I save some money? I swapped out Jalen Hurts for Matt Ryan so that I could upgrade, quote unquote, upgrade from Kyle Pitts to Logan Thomas. And that upgrade may have gotten me, it probably got me 4 points maybe. And I lost about 30 switching from Jalen to Matt Ryan. So that killed me. Raheem Mostert, as we've mentioned in earlier shows, the guy can't quit. 2 carries, 20 yards, and a broken knee cartilage, which is not even, I don't even understand. Out for the season now.
Do you not get bonus points for torn cartilage or how many things you hurt? I mean, I thought that was
for obscure injury. I think obscure injuries should give you about 33 points, roughly.
Yeah. Well, then you'd be crushing.
Yeah, I would have eked out a victory. I will say neither of our running backs looked good. It's not like you crushed a running back either. No. So Mostert did hurt me quite a bit, but you just had a strong lineup all the way through. Your wide receivers killed it. You absolutely killed it on the wide receiver front. And that's where you really pulled ahead.
Between Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, Lockett, and Higgins, no one had a bad week. So
yeah,
I was happy.
You were strong all the way there. Last guy who hurt me, speaking of that, I had good receivers except in my flex. I ended up moving into Marquez Callaway, thinking he's their number one receiver now with Michael Thomas out. And again, with all the fun that New Orleans was having with those 5 touchdown passes, he got 1 catch. So I don't know what happened there.
By the way, really did you see Jameis Winston's quote after the game?
No.
Like they were interviewing him post game and they're like, Jameis, you know, you had such a great game. You know what, how'd you pull this out? How'd you put this game together? And he goes, oh, you know, I just listened to what my trainer said. And my trainer said, be prepared. And like, really? Like that's how you pulled together 5 touchdowns and 14 out of 20. Like, just be prepared. All right, Jameis. Great. Not even like followed the game plan. We had great scouts. We had felt good practice. Just be prepared. So Kemp, my advice to you this week is be prepared.
I wish you'd given that to me before I picked my lineup. I have already picked my lineup and maybe I'm not prepared. I don't know. I'm not even sure what that means. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a given in the NFL, but thank you, Jameis.
Not for Jameis. He's not good.
It reminds me of the Good Story Jeopardy contestant segment on good quote. Jameis, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay, so that was not fun for me. I'm going to come back this week. We're going to keep a running total all season long, but I'm going to come back with a vengeance this week and hopefully start to regain some ground. We'll see how we do. I will have an opportunity to turn the tide a little bit with the sportsbook bets.
Yes,
and the first week is first week's always tough to bet on because you haven't seen the action yet. You know, you don't know who's going to come out hot, who's going to come out flat. We certainly saw some weird games, like we said with the Houston game in Jacksonville. But to be fair, that's also true for the Vegas folks. So they don't either. They don't know either. So sometimes you get better spreads in the first week. Sometimes you get better over-unders in the first week. You try to take advantage of that as best you can. It's going to get tougher and tougher as the year goes on. So recapping, we had Dallas +8.5 versus Tampa Bay. That's a winner. I had Seattle -2.5 versus Indianapolis. That's a winner.
Got
it. We had Minnesota and Cincinnati going over 47.5. This is the one I was nervous about. It was tied at 0 after a quarter, and we're looking at the end of regulation, 24-21, 3 seconds left. Minnesota's got to kick a field goal just to go to overtime. 52-yarder, boom. They go to overtime at 48 points. Doesn't matter what happens there, and we get the over. I'll take that as a winner. However, had one loss as well, the parlay. Yeah,
parlay, I mean, in your defense, parlay is the toughest bet, but this one was a little
rough. It is tough, and that's why I always recommend, especially for new folks, to parlay favorites, you know, and maybe even heavy favorites, because you can boost the odds here. But I took Green Bay, San Francisco, and Denver to win outright. San Francisco and Denver took care of business. Of course, Green Bay completely shit the bed. And so didn't see that coming, but as goes with parlay bets, you lose one of them, you lose the whole thing. So,
but again, there was what you didn't know is that Jameis was prepared, and you didn't know Jameis that coming into the bet. So
you know,
next time he
hid that from everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
That was week one.
That
was a secret coming into the season.
Pulls it out of the bag, prepared.
I guess honestly, to be fair, that actually is a pretty good quote for Jameis, because we've seen him come out and just freaking sling the ball. Like, you may have wondered if he's ever been prepared before. So that actually legitimately could be a big difference for him this year. So overall, 3-1 record. I will take that. I made some money. Okay. Let's go. Gonna try to keep the good times rolling there.
Follow Kemp. Listen to what he says. Get that money.
Get that cheddar, as I like to say, and it's appropriate as
Damn
well.
It. I was going to say that, and I thought it after I said, get that money. We are folding the cheese. I had it in the back of my head. Damn it.
Got to be prepared, E.
I was not Jameis this week. Sorry, guys.
If you're not first, you're last. Shake and bake. Let's go. want to go fast. This week, we're going to do something fun, too. We're going to start a new pool on ESPN.com. They've got a Pigskin Pick'em League where you get to just pick winners of each NFL game, and Ethan and I have started that. Our league is called Folding the Cheese, which is a real creative name for this.
Follow suit.
So following suit there. So go over there, join us. It's free to join. We're just picking winners. We're not doing spread or confidence points or anything like that. We'll keep it easy. And this will keep a tally for us all season long. We'd love to see some participation from you guys. We're going to walk through who we're picking right now and see if we got any differences here, and maybe we'll come up with some little bets here as well. You want to start us off?
Let's go for it. So the first game is this Thursday. We got the Giants versus the Washington football team. I went with the Washington football team, even though they did lose their starting quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Got to start that game. Fitzpatrick is down, but their defense is stacked. The Giants are still a little unproven with their offense. They obviously lost last week, but I'm liking the football team here from Washington.
Yeah, we've seen Taylor Heineke before, and he had that monster of a playoff game against the Buccaneers last year. The guy can play. He's a bit of a gamer. He's a bit of a wild card, but I like him too. I've got Washington winning this game as well. They've got a better all-around team. This should be, I think, a low-scoring game. Mm-hmm. Both defenses. I mean, New York's got a good secondary this year. It's revamped, retooled. Washington's got a good defense top to bottom, and there are also some good offensive playmakers on both sides too, so this was a bit of a tough one to pick. I don't know what we're going to get out of Saquon. That's one of the reasons I'm going with Washington. They may rest him entirely. They may keep him on that pitch count. This is a quick turnaround after that week one game. So I'm going Washington as well.
Okay. All right, Bengals Bears. I know you probably had a little conflict of interest here. You love that Bears offense. What do you got there, my friend?
I have not heard anything saying that Justin Fields will be the starter in this game. I am taking the Bengals in this one, outright winner. That's going to come back later in the show as well. And I actually feel pretty confident about it. I mean, I didn't see anything from the Bears last week that made me think they can get it done. They got absolutely stomped by the Rams. The Bengals offense looked good last week. They won in a tough overtime matchup against the Vikings. Yeah, give me the Bengals.
Yep, I'm riding the Bungles too. I love Joe Burrow. I just think he's a playmaker. I was bummed to see him get hurt at the end of last year. I really would have loved to see him fill out that rookie season, but he's come right back in and picked up right where he left off. So I like that offense. Yeah, the Bears just have not been impressive. I know it was just one game, but the indecision at the QB spot, and just Dalton is Dalton. You know what he can do and what a lot that he can't, and they have decided not yet to move on. So it just shows indecision on their part. Bungles, let's go.
Yep. All right. Next up, we got Houston Texans going to the Cleveland Browns. What do you think, E?
Texans looked good. Granted, they played their Jags, but I cannot go against Cleveland. They gave Kansas City everything they could handle. Some say they should have won that game, but they didn't at the end. Offense is great. They've revamped their defense with Clowney and Garrett. I mean, that's scary. Browns. Going Browns.
Clowney is money for that, like, two plays per game that he will actually pour it on. He's unstoppable. He will walk around with his hand on his hips the rest of the game, but that's all right. Yeah, I'm going with the Browns as well. I want you to keep your eye on this up-and-coming player, Nicholas Chubb. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Who is that
keep
guy?
Keep an eye on him. Yeah, keep an eye on him. He is a game changer, and I think he's going to have himself a nice little week this week. Off the radar a little bit. I'm going Brownies.
Is he available can we pick him up? Is he available?
I didn't want to mention him in waiver wire because he's still a little obscure, but just keep an eye on him. Maybe stash. Maybe click the star to follow him for the next couple weeks.
And see what tabs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just see what you get there. All right, we got the Rams going to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Who do you like here?
I'm going Rams. Colts showed you a little bit in week one against the Seahawks, but I just love what the Rams did in the offseason with the huge addition of Matty Stafford. And again, their defense is monumental anyway. I know they're on the road, but I just like what I saw the Rams week one, and I just see them continuing this role.
Yeah, I completely agree. This to me was a pretty easy pick. I'm going Rams as well. Stacked on offense yet again, and defense is still strong. So I think they won't have much trouble with the Colts on this one.
Next game we got are the Bills traveling down to Miami to face the Dolphins. This is an interesting divisional matchup. What do you think, Kemp?
So you got a little bit of a tough read on both of these teams last week. True. So the Bills had the Steelers, which is a really tough defense. They looked a little sluggish coming out of the gate. That was a bit of a 10-rounder against the Steelers. So I don't know. We haven't seen that offense totally click just yet. The Dolphins and the Patriots last week, like, I don't know, 17-16 game. Again, a little tough to tell what you're going to get out of these teams. I'm taking the Bills. Too much talent for me. They're more chemistry there. I love the up-and-coming talent on the Dolphins, but Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, PPR stud, Cole Beasley. I think the Bills get it done. This is going to be another low-scoring game. I think these teams have both got good defenses. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Dolphins yet. I think, as you said, they do have that big P word, the potential, but they should have lost last week at New England. Damian Harris fumbled that game away. In fact, the Patriots had four fumbles, but anyway, I digress. So yeah, Bills, I know they lost, but they're going to have a bounce back week. They have such high expectations for the season. I cannot see them losing their first two games.
Yeah, they've got to get back on track, and I think they will. We got New England traveling to the Jets as well. Who you like here?
Bounce back for my Patriots. Mac Jones looked impressive in his first game. I like his mindset already. He would not take that game ball after he threw his first touchdown. He said he didn't want it. He said, I only scored one touchdown. That's not nearly enough. So he's ready to move on. And he's ready to pick apart those Jets.
Yeah, that's a guy with high expectations. I like that as well. It'll be fun to watch this one. You know, another rookie QB matchup here.
Right.
The Jets seem like they're kind of, Corey Davis was the only real bright spot there. I'm going with Patriots as well. I think they get it done.
There we go. All right, so now we got San Francisco at Philly. Kind of an interesting matchup. I feel like the Eagles definitely overperformed in their week one matchup, while the Niners was kind of weird. You know, they came out to a big lead against Detroit, then Detroit kind of snuck back into the game. So this was a tougher one for me to pick just because of what the end of, I don't know, just the enigma surrounding both of these teams. But I'm going to go with the 49ers. Again, they have a stellar defense, even though not in the second half against Detroit. But I just think they're a better team top to bottom.
Yeah, so this one's going to tell us a lot, I think, for the rest of the season, because I agree. We didn't know exactly what we got out of that first week. Atlanta was so bad that Philly may just have coasted to a victory, and Detroit was so bad that San Francisco may have looked like a Super Bowl team. One of these teams, I think, has got legitimate playoff contention capability here. I'm taking the Eagles on this one. I think they've also got a tough defense, and with Mostert out, the backfield issues, Brandon Ayuk issues. Like, I don't know what's going on in San Francisco. I like their offense. They've got enough playmakers to do without those two, but I don't know. Give me the Eagles at home. Let's see what happens.
All right. First discrepancy between our two picks. I like it. Let's keep it going.
I'm going against the ESPN Nation as well, apparently. All right. We got the Raiders going to Pittsburgh here. I like Pittsburgh in this game. Not a lot to say. Their defense was so tough last week. The offense, I think, at home, as we've seen in the past, tends to air it out a little bit more, open it up a bit. Raiders look great on Monday night against the Ravens. I think they're going to struggle traveling across the country to Pittsburgh on a short week for a noon game.
Yeah, I got Pittsburgh as well. Even John Gruden said after the Monday night game, he felt like a cat with nine lives. You can't make that many mistakes against a well-disciplined Steelers team. And so I don't see the Steelers having too much trouble here. Coming up next, we have the Saints at the Panthers. Saints and Jameis, my goodness, what a week one effort against the Packers. I see them kind of, this was a tough game to call because the Panthers are kind of, they have a new identity with Sam Darnold, their quarterback. Their defense is again kind of solid, but I'm going to go with the Saints just with hopefully keeping it rolling and Jameis is prepared. So New Orleans.
This was a really tough one to pick for me as well, because again, I also felt like we didn't see a ton out of, like, I didn't know what to expect out of New Orleans. That game was so weird. And so I don't feel like I know what you're going to get out of them any given week. I'm going with the Panthers. I think they've got the weapons. Defense was solid. A lot of playmakers. If they're playing like they should, and if Green Bay played like they should, we'd know a lot more about New Orleans. But if they play like they should with all these playmakers, I think they'll give them a run for their money. Divisional game. I'm taking the Panthers.
All right. Yeah. All right. There's two right there. Make or break.
There's two right there. We got Denver going to Jacksonville this week as well. This is a noon game. It does concern me a little bit. It's across the country. But I just think Denver, even with the loss of Jerry Jeudy, those two running backs, I think, are going to both have a big day. Cortland Sutton is getting his legs back under him. Noah Fant looked great last week. Tim Patrick, you got a bunch of guys. They're moving KJ Hamler into Jerry Judy's slot. I think Denver gets it done.
First of all, get off your central time zone bias. It is a 1 o'clock Eastern game. So it is not a noon game, even for whatever. Central's people.
The best.
But I'm picking the Broncos. Jaguars were extremely disappointing in week one to see what they did against a lowly, quote unquote, Texas team. So I'm going Broncos. So after that, we got Minnesota visiting the Cardinals. Cardinals looked unbelievable in week one. That offense just looked like it couldn't be stopped with Kyler Murray running that thing with DeAndre Hopkins. My goodness, their running game was well split between Edmonds and Connor. I just see them keeping that rolling at home and taking out the Vikings.
Yeah, I agree. This could be another high scoring game. I think the Vikings hopefully will put up a better fight than the Titans did last week. But yeah, Arizona looked like they were ready, midseason form, rocking and rolling. All right, we got the Falcons going to Tampa Bay. This is going to be potentially the lopsided game of the week. Not a lot to say here. Give me the Bucks.
Ditto. Next.
Next. All right, we got the Cowboys going to Los Angeles against the Chargers. This is a really tough one. This is kind of a pick 'em. There's a small spread here. I'm taking the Cowboys maybe out of just my sheer love for Dak and CD. See what happens.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game. This is a tough game to pick. Chargers look solid in their opening week. But again, that Cowboys offense looks stacked. I'm going to have to agree with you, even though it pains me to do so. Going with the Cowboys. And so the last afternoon game on Sunday, we have your Tennessee Titans going to Seattle. Oof. If you look at week one, Tennessee did not look good. Even Mikey Vrabel was calling out his team, especially Julio Jones. Seattle looked good against the Colts. So I'm riding with cooking with Russ and Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Chris Carson. I mean, it's just too stacked. Going with Seattle.
Yeah, and I think going to Seattle is part of the problem here. I would not be at all surprised to see Tennessee come back and rebound and look like the team they're supposed to be this year. They really have high aspirations. They are pretty loaded on offense. Defense is being retooled, but they got some good playmakers there typically. Give me the Seahawks this week. It hurts me to say it, but Titans are going to get things rolling and get back on track soon. We've got the Sunday night matchup. The Chiefs are going to Baltimore. This looks like it's going to be a primetime good showdown here. I think the Chiefs are going to be too much to handle. The Baltimore's still trying to figure out that running back. They have Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell in their practice squad. They're going to elevate one of them. Harbaugh says he might play all four backs. Like, what is going on, dude? Put Tyson Williams in there and let the guy run. You know, they're a mess right now. Give me the Chiefs.
I agree. Chiefs are too loaded. Baltimore, you can't let the Raiders come back on you like that. I just don't see them being able to stop the Chiefs and then being able to score as much as they can. So we're going KC. And then finally, our Monday night game features my hometown Detroit Lions facing off against the 0-1 Green Bay Packers. I mean, if you look at the records, it's an even matchup, my friend. And technically, the Lions scored more points last week. But I can't see I can't see Aaron Rodgers throwing two goose eggs in a row. They're going to bounce back at home. Green Bay should coast to this victory.
Yeah, Detroit's actually on top of the division right now, so that's something going for them. Probably the last time they're going to be able to say that. Wow. Green Bay at home on Monday night, home opener. Rodgers is pissed. He might throw 700 yards this week. I don't know. This has got to be Green Bay, or else there's much bigger problems there than we thought initially.
Yeah, his last dance could be a little rough if they lose here to Detroit at home.
Yikes.
All right, Kemp. We're going to mix things up a little bit here. We're going to take a little break from talking about football. We're going to go into some pop culture trivia. So since today you are Ricky Bobby and I'm your Cal Naughton Jr., we're going to do a little Talladega Nights trivia for you. You ready for this, my friend?
I sure hope so. Great movie. I mean, it's been a hot minute since I've seen it, but I've seen it a lot.
It has been a bit, but come on, let's be honest. We were quoting this movie for at least 10 years going. And
very true.
Let's see if we can keep it up.
Don't fail me now.
Your first question. When Ricky is grown up, he is a member of a pit crew for what team? Who sponsors that team?
I remember there's a giant clown on the front. It's something clown, lucky clown.
There is a clown. You are right. Come on, you can get this.
Laughing Clown.
Yes, is it Laughing Clown? It's Laughing Clown Malt Liquor was the team.
Oh yes, I remember the guy gets out of the car. Guy gets out of the car and goes, I gotta go to the bathroom, and then they sit him over there. He's eating a chicken sandwich. These sandwiches are good.
And they said, "Hey, we need someone who can go drive fast." And that's when Ricky says, "I want to drive fast.
I want to drive fast."
One for one, Kemp. Good start. Oh, good start. Okay. So following that right after Ricky becomes the new driver, who is now the main sponsor of that car?
Wonder Bread.
Yep. He's got yes, he eats sir. It for every meal. I think that was in his contract that he actually has to have Wonder Bread at every meal.
And that's right. He has to mention Powerade at every grace as well.
Every grace. All those electrolytes just gets it right down to the soul.
I'm excited about the release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry.
Is it? Yes. Okay, did you not just see this movie yesterday? How would you pull that out?
I mean, it's okay. Mentioning Powerade in every grace is that's a memorable one.
Okay, well, speaking of grace, give me two of the three fast foods that Ricky's wife slaves over for dinner.
I know KFC's in there.
KFC is one of them. You got KFC. I need one more. Man.
I feel like you see the buckets, and that's like the big thing, and they're eating chicken. I don't remember them eating anything else, but given the Powerade and KFC and Pepsi affiliation, it makes me think KFC Taco Bell. It makes me think of the restaurant combos.
Taco Bell, so, because it's so damn delicious. That is correct. Okay. My goodness. Boom. The other one was Domino's. Domino's Pizza.
Domino's Pizza. Wow. Okay.
Okay. And at said dinner table, what are the names of Ricky's kids?
Oh, that's an easy one. We got Walker, Texas Ranger, TR.
TR for short.
TR for short.
Okay. All right.
I love when his wife is talking to Chip and she says, "We didn't name him Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman."
Oh, God. All right. What restaurant do the Bobbies get thrown out of?
Applebee's?
Applebee's, because he puts onions on his dad's steak. He's like, "Did you put these onions on purpose? I told you no onions." And he just starts throwing plates and chairs. And they get thrown
every time things get good. I just go screwing them up. Yeah, I was thinking it's one of those chains for sure, but then I couldn't remember if it was maybe like a they didn't use the actual name kind of thing, and I'd be have no
idea. Oh no, they did. Big sponsor, Applebee's.
Big sponsor, Applebee's.
Kemp, you're going 5 for 5. I've got one more. Let's see if you can. Okay, you can get perfect score. All right.
Oh my.
So when Ricky lost his mojo. You know, he got in the wreck. He thought he was on fire, which he wasn't. He screamed out for Tom Cruise. His dad starts to get him in a new training regiment. And one, he puts a cougar in his car to see if he'll drive fast. But in this one, he gets into the car and his dad says, "Well, son, I just strapped a kilo of cocaine to the bottom of this car and the cops are on their way. So you better drive fast and get the hell on out of here." So he takes off. What is actually strapped to Ricky's car?
Okay, I was about to say I have no idea where this is going, and I don't know if I'm going to ever get any trivia question about this whole scene, but I'm pretty certain those were Lucky Charms.
Survey says it is Lucky Charms, Ken.
Lucky Charms! 6 for 6.
My gosh, where'd you pull that out of? I thought that was going to be the stumper right there.
There's a middle section of that movie that you kind of, I don't know. I kind of miss gloss over some of the action there, but I do remember the kilo being cereal. I do remember that.
Well done, Lucky Charms. You got it. 6 for 6, my friend. That's an impressive start. Right, you better keep this up the whole season.
Well, I'm gonna have to come back at you next time. I'm not sitting here in the hot seat the entire time.
I'm the trivia master, my friend. I'm the trivia master.
Okay. We'll see. Caught me on a good one there. I'll take it. All right, let's move on to some football. You want to get back to some football here?
All right, this is a fantasy football podcast. Let's do this.
Yeah, loosely, yeah, sort of. We're going to cover our DFS strategy this week. I want to talk about our lineups, and then we'll get to some sports book bets as well. And sounds like E and I have got ourselves another do it bet as well.
Do it.
One thing I wanted to talk about with DFS is it can be a good strategy to look at the Vegas over-unders to get an idea of what games they expect are going to be scoring a lot, and then try to correlate some of your players for those games. Not always the case. I mean, if you know there's going to be a blowout, then you probably want to run the game script there. If you know one team's going to crush another, maybe you run a running back out of that team. But in the high-scoring games or the shootouts, maybe you want to load up on a couple of receivers from each one, quarterback on one of those. So I just want to highlight a couple of the games that are high-scoring per Vegas odds this week. We got the Tampa Bay-Atlanta game, which probably high-scoring because it's going to be a blowout. We got Minnesota-Arizona. That one could be a shootout for both teams. Seattle-Tennessee, if Tennessee shows up and Julio and AJ Brown are playing and Derrick Henry's actually running well, that could be a shootout as well. We got Dallas and the Chargers, and we got KC and Baltimore. So if you want to use that strategy, those would be some good teams to look at to stack your lineups this week. All of these are expecting over 50 on the over under.
I hope I did.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about your lineup this week?
All right. So last week, coming off my big win, I decided to take a kind of a similar approach. I started with picking my QB first just because I think that kind of sets the stage for me working with that $55,000 budget just to kind of see where things lie. So my QB, I got Tom Brady. He's going against the Falcons, and I got him for a cool $6,900, which I thought that was a great value for what he did last week and what he could do against the Falcons. I thought that was a great value. I couldn't pass that up. For my first running back, it pains me to do it. I picked a bear, but I went with David Montgomery. He's playing the Bengals, and I got him for $6,100. And again, I probably wouldn't necessarily have gone for Montgomery. I don't think they're going to win that game, but for that price, I think he'll be able to put up enough good stats that it's definitely worth only putting up $6,100 for him. My second running back, I got Damian Harris, the Patriot running back playing against the Jets. He was for $5,400. Again, I thought that was a good value pick. He showed a lot of promise in that week one matchup against the Dolphins, even though he did fumble the game away. But we won't go there. But again, I think Damian could have a good game. My wide receivers is where I kind of stacked the deck a little bit. That's what I did last week, and it paid out big for me. So this week I'm going with DeAndre Hopkins. He cost me $8,000. He's playing the Vikings. He had a big first week. I think he's going to do the same. My second wide receiver, I got Cooper Kupp. He was for $6,000. He's playing against the Colts. He and Matt Stafford looked great week one. I can see that continue to roll. Here was one of a little bit of a reach. Again, this is where your budget comes into play. I'm playing Cortland Sutton from Denver. He cost me $5,200. He's going against the Jaguars. Now, he did not have a good week one. But again, the thing with daily fantasy is you got to tweak that budget, see if we can fit players in. And he fit my budget. And I think he should have a bounce back game. For tight end, I got Tyler Higbee of the Rams. He cost me $4,100. He's going against the Colts. Solid week one. And again, solid pick for the price. At my flex, doing the same thing I did last week, I got T. Higgins. He had a great week against his week one. He got me a touchdown, and he's going against the Bears. He's a good flex play. He's only $5,400, so he fit in well. And then for my defense, again, I'm just hating on this Bears team, so I picked the Bengals D. Got him for $2,900. And there you have it, my friend. The winning lineup.
Not bad. Two. Yeah, that's not bad. I think that's a very solid all the way through lineup. You didn't have to sacrifice and take some $3,000 player that you just hoping to pray that he's going to go off. So I think you'll be good there with everybody. Good values on Sutton and Higgins in particular, I think. And Higbee too, $4,100. That's a really good price point. Okay. All right. You got me a little bit intimidated, I got to tell you.
Don't worry about it. Let's see what you got, my friend.
Here's what I'm coming out with. My boyfriend, Dak Prescott, at quarterback, $6,800. I feel the exact same way you do about Brady and both of these guys. They're underpriced. I mean, these were QBs 5 and 6 last week. They sling it. They both got matchups where they should put up a lot of points. Give me Dak at $6,800 against the Chargers. I'm also going David Montgomery. $6,100 is just way too low. The guy was like a top five running back last week. That is just way too low.
You couldn't pass up that price.
Couldn't pass up the price. The offense is going through him. He's running well. He's catching passes. Give me David Montgomery. I'm going on, I mentioned this earlier, with the Denver running backs. I had to save a little bit of money here. I went Javonte Williams. So it was Melvin Gordon who had the big week last week. He had that big run for 70 yards. Javonte also looked good. I think Denver gets up in this game and they can start seeing a little bit more what they got with Javonte and give him a chance to get some run. I'm hopeful that game script is going to allow him to have a good week. It was only $4,400. That's really the only place I had to sacrifice money. So I'm gonna ride that and see what happens. I'm going big on receiver as well. So I took Davante Adams at $8,300. This is me just playing that comeback game for Rodgers. Also, Lions obviously got torched by Debo last week. Davante is the man in Green Bay. I think on a Monday night game, first home game in Green Bay, I think Rodgers is going to come out with his hair on fire, and it's going to be the Davante show. $8,300 to me seems like a bargain. I'm going $7,000 for Keenan Allen as well. He's got Dallas. Dallas secondary is very easy to expose, as we saw last week. He had three guys going absolutely off against them. And Keenan had a great week, great repertoire, great rapport with Justin Herbert. So give me him for $7,000. Good repertoire,
too. He's very well-versed in many different areas.
He does have a good repertoire. He can run every route in the book, and he's got enough speed. Jalen Waddle, rookie receiver, had a touchdown last week. He's the go-to in Miami. They do get Will Fuller back this week, so I'm interested to see who Buffalo decides to try and take away. But Jalen Waddle's only $4,500. He looked good last week. I'll take him this week and see if we can keep the good times rolling there. Tight end, I'm going to go Gronk. $4,700 taking on the Falcons. Give me Gronk. I think he looked amazing last week. And yeah, I think he's going to have another big week this week. Yeah, and I don't know if there's anybody in Atlanta that's going to be guarding him either. And then the flex, I don't usually love doing this, but I went with another tight end, Hockenson. TJ Hockenson, $5,500 against Green Bay. He's basically a receiver in Detroit, and he's the only real weapon they've got downfield. Those running backs both look great coming out of the backfield. Hockenson's their only real downfield threat. He had a monster week last week. I think he's underpriced at $5,500. I'll take him against Green Bay on Monday night, see if he can have another big game. In the defense, I punted here a little bit. Give me the Dolphins against Buffalo. I am worried about Buffalo coming back and looking much better. Dolphins are only $2,500. They looked good against the Patriots last week, a couple of fumble recoveries. They have a good defense. It's just a matter of if Buffalo decides to pour it on. So we'll see. That might burn me. But again, defenses don't score a ton of points anyway, so whatever.
I was gonna say, like, I'm sure Buffalo's going to bounce back, but shoot, I had the Jaguars defense last week. They got me minus 3 points. Your defense got you 4 points. So it's not like it's a huge difference. So even if the Dolphins get trounced, it's not going to make or break your week.
That's why I keep saying just punt on defense. I just don't think it's worth spending a lot of money on that. It's hard to predict, and the difference in points is not that massive anyway. All right, my man. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see. I got to bounce back. I got to start chipping away at that lead. I dug myself a little bit of a hole here to start the season. I got some sportsbook plays for us as well. So I'm going to pick 4 more games here. I've got the Rams -3.5 at Indianapolis. I'm not sure why the spread's this low. I guess you get 3 points for being at home. Rams looked kind of unstoppable, and Seattle was unstoppable to Indianapolis. So I don't know why that would be that different. Give me the Rams -3.5 at Indy. I'm taking this one. Really surprised me. I mentioned it earlier. I'm taking Cincinnati on the money line. So they're actually a 2.5 point underdog. So you get positive odds if you take them to win the game at Chicago. So normally a favorite's going to be negative, whatever. A high favorite's going to be -400 or -500. 2.5 point underdog, they're +125 right now. So give me the odds there. I'll take them straight up to win. I don't need the +2.5 points. I'm just going to take them to win the game. I think that's a good play this week. I've got an over-under for you again. I think the Pittsburgh and Las Vegas game is under 47. I think that's a little bit too high of a point spread. Pittsburgh defense looked really good. Vegas is going to struggle with this defense this week, I think, especially coming across country. So I think that could be a low-scoring game. Give me the under on 47 there. All right, I got a parlay for us as well. Again, I'm going to take 3 favorites this week. I'm going to bundle them together to get some positive odds. So I got Kansas City, Denver, and Seattle. You put all those with negative odds together, you end up with a +91. They've all 3 got a win, but I think they will. A $10 bet wins you $19, 29 total. I think that could be good money for you if everything plays out the way it should.
Kemp, those sounds like some good plays. Obviously, you had a great first week. See if you can keep that rolling here at week 2. Now to close out the show, we do have a weekly bet that we are going to do, update and change each week, but we will keep tabs on it and see who comes out the ultimate champ. We obviously have our betting board, which we had a season long with the same players and same matchups. But here we change it up each week with some one-on-one matchups. So this week we are looking at rookie wide receivers. Last week, the 3 top 10 picks all had touchdowns, all had great weeks. So we decided to pick one of them. Gave Kemp the first overall pick, and he chose his man, Devontae Smith, and I chose Ja'Marr Chase. So we will see who has a better fantasy week. And as always, we have our Do It big board.
Do it.
Where we have Kemper has his Chicago quarterback rotation, and I have Matt Ryan, his favorite player in the NFL. For wide receivers,
Chicago Bears, do it.
For wide receivers, we got Godwin versus CeeDee Lamb. And at running back, we still have David Montgomery versus Chris Carson. So we'll tabulate those throughout the year. But for this week, rookie wide receivers, Kemp.
I say Devontae Smith has more points than Ja'Marr Chase this week.
I say Ja'Marr Chase has more fantasy points than Devontae Smith this week.
Do it.
Ja'Marr Chase, do it.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for Fold the Cheese this week. Signing off, Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. Shake and bake, baby.
Cal Naughton, shake and bake is dead. You're talking to the Magic Man.
And El Diablo.
And as always, keep folding that cheese.